Today's Perek in Tanakh is Melachim Aleph, Perek David. Vayi HaMelech Shlomo Melech Al Kol Yisrael. Now this is a strange pasuk because basically this is the third time we've heard this. I mean, it was originally when David gave him over the Malchut, and then after he killed Shimi ben Gera, Vatikon Malchuto Maod, and now once again. And so the Mefarshim suggests that there really are three different stages. We have the Malchut of Shlomo in the lifetime of David, but that was the Malchut that was given to him. So there it says, V'Shlomo Yosheva Kisei Avi, Vatikon Malchuto Maod. That's in terms of its being, Kisei Avi. Then, after he gets rid of all of the groups that had issues with the Malchut of Shlomo, particularly Shimi ben Gera as the representative of Binyamin and all of the Ta'anot against Malchut Beit David Bichlal, then the Pasuk repeats this new aspect of HaMamlacha Nechona B'yad Shlomo, that Shlomo as Shlomo, in which he had secured the Malchut. And now we have this third level, which comes only after the story that we had yesterday of the immense awe that people felt for his Chochmah. So then we find the true Malchut, which was always what Malchut Beit David looks for, and that is to be Melech Al Kol Yisrael, meaning that the Am accepted him, recognized him, and admired him in the Malchut. And in that sense, he was very different than the way that Shaul had become the Melech initially, in which people were Mavazahim. Hasarim Asherlo. And the following are the individuals that were appointed on different levels for the responsibilities of the Malchut. There was, first of all, Azaryahu ben Sadok. His position was HaKohen. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean HaKohen as the Kohen Gadol, because we know that that was Sadok, and that's not a position of the Malchut. While we saw that Kohen, when it came to David, was a problem, because it meant Makirei Kuhunan, because of it, Chazal say that it brought Aniyut, where a person gives all of his Ma'asrot in a particular way. Here, there's no suggestion that the Kohen would mean a Kohen in that sense, a personal Kohen. But that's because the entire structure that we see over here is completely impersonal. Everything that was referred to with David was not an institutionalized melucha. It was the way that things were being done. It wasn't that these were the names of official positions. It's just that this is what the person was serving. We don't find that David had set up any sense of a taxation system or government centers, or certainly not nitzavim, governors that were around the country in different sectors. All of this is part of the growth of the Shlomo, who was very much into konanut, into having the mochon of Malchut, foundation, the institution of Malchut, and all of the mechanisms that provide for that institution. So HaKohen may very likely mean, suggests the Mitzvot, the Mashuv Milchama, which is central to the Malchut, so that he had appointed this individual under Tzadok HaKohen, obviously, but as the Mashuv Milchama was in charge of speaking to the nation, the morale, and the structure of the Ruchnius during war. Elichoref Ve'achia B'nei Shisha were the Sofrim. They were the ones who were in charge of maintaining the history of the Malchut. Yoshafat ben Achilud HaMaskir, he was the Secretary of State, literally Maskir means secretary, the one that would keep things in place. It was Misader, which Mishpatim came at one time. Vinayo ben Yoyada, we saw, had been appointed no longer on the creative of Pleiti, but that Shlomo, after getting rid of Yoav, had appointed him al Hatzava. V'tzadok v'evyatar kohanim. Now this is a little bit strange, because Evyatar, we just learned before, had been sent away and couldn't possibly be kohanim. So the Radak suggests that maybe this is another Evyatar. The Rabak suggests that even though Evyatar had been sent away, he still was the backup. So he was the Sagan. So that if Tzadok would be Tomei or something like that, so then Evyatar would have been called back into the Beit HaMikdash. It's also an interesting possibility. Va'azaryahu benatan al hanitzavim. And we also are going to find in a moment that Shlomo had 12 nitzavim in which the country was split into 12 divisions for economic purposes. And it was Azariah ben Natan who was in charge of the Netzivim, so that the Netzivim did not report directly to the Melech, but rather they reported to Azariah ben Natan, who was then, this would be similar to an economic position, or an economic czar in our society. V'zavud ben Natan Kohen, Rea HaMelech. Zavud ben Natan, the Kohen, was the friend of the king. Now, this is an amazing issue. And it's something that we saw in David, Rea David. We found the same thing with Achuzat Mere'ehu, by the story way back in the Chumash, at the time of the Avos, that we find in the Malchut HaUmot. They had Re'im. And here is the first time that we find a specific position in which the person is listed together with the Secretary of State and the Chief of Staff and the King's friend, which is a remarkable, appointed as the King's friend. And I believe that it may well be that the nature of Malchut that Shlomo was looking for, there's always an interrelationship problem. Because on the one hand, the Melech cannot be like everyone else. And yet the essence of the Malchut is that he's an outgrowth of interrelationships. And the essence of the Malchut is always friendship. And this is David talking to his friend Zachai, or David with his name, as the beloved one, as the Dod, Anilo Dodi. So in terms of the interrelationships, we found earlier that there's always this Yesod Malchut relationship in which Shaul was Mevakish David to be there. David had Yonatan. But at this point, we don't have that early stage where there's somebody that is a friend and that is able to be friendly with the people, bringing the people to the king. And so there's always the chashash that the king becomes separated. The Re'ya of a Melech, which does happen, the Re'ya of a Melech means that there's someone with whom he is himself. And this is a friend. And that friendship is the equivalent of an actual position of Yesod for the Malchus, in which there's a Chibur directly to friendship to make sure that the Melech does not become alienated. And then that's on the psychological level. I'm saying, but in terms of the nature of Malchus, it's important. Because the Malchus is a function of love and friendship. That's what it's about. So if you take away the friendship from the Malchus, you destroy the Malchus.
This is another concept of like a friend of the court. It's like an expert.
Right. L'chora, Re'ya over here means literally Re'ya. We find that by David as well. Re'ya and David were people that shared with him, that were close with him. And that does not seem to be a sense of a position of advisor and so on. It means literally one that he can let his hair down with and be close to, which is just an amazing thing to make for an actual position.
I remember when Bill Clinton became president, he appointed somebody to a position. The guy said, "Why do you need me?" He said, "Because someone has to be able to tell the most powerful man in the world you're wrong." He wanted to have somebody who was free.
Okay, but that's more of an advisory position.
A close friend.
I understand, yeah, but there he said, to say you're wrong is an advisory position. Over here, the Re'ya HaMelech, I'm suggesting, may be part of the nature of Malchut itself. Va'achishar al habayit. This is the first time that we find a nature of someone al habayit, because, I mean, David didn't have that kind of thing. And it would appear that that's because of the gadlut of the bayit of Shlomo, that for the first time we have an institutionalized, massive bayit of the king. No. The bayit of the king himself. And Adinoram, Adoniram ben Avda al Hamas. Now this Adoniram, he has different names. We find in Divrei Hayamim, he was the one that was in charge of the Hamas, and he comes to a very bitter end in which he is stoned to death at the time of Rehovam, where people were rebelling against the Hamas, and that's recorded in Divrei Hayamim. Again, his name there is changed, but it's clear that it's the same person because he appears in the same list. V'lishlomo shnei masar nitzavim al kol Yisrael. Shlomo also set up 12 representatives, Nitzavim, or something like the idea of a governor that we found was used in cases where the Plishtim had Nitzavim, but it was a Nitzav Melech we spoke about in Edom, where Yisrael was in charge. You had governors. So it means the lashon of a governor that we would say today. And they divided the country into 12 areas, one for each of the Nitzavim, and each one would be responsible for 1/12 of the year, in other words, 1 month of the year, to take care of the economic concerns of the Malchut, for the government costs. Oh, now we're going to see. It's interesting that it's clear that although there's a general sense of relationship to the Shvatim, as the Mefarshim explained, the idea over here was that each grouping was an economically viable grouping that was similar to the next one. In other words, it wouldn't be fair to make it dependent on the Shevet, because then how could you expect that the same amount of economic support would be coming from one Shevet as from another Shevet? You'd have to have it from a group that has a population and an economy that can maintain the same level of support. So these were really economic divisions that attempted, it's clear that he attempted to stick to a great extent to the borders of the Shvatim, but it clearly was not a Shevet issue, it was an economic issue. And these are their names. It's interesting, some of these people didn't have personal names. They were known by the chashivas of their family. So there was Ben Hur, you know what his personal name was, in the Har Ephraim area. There was Ben Deker, B'Makatz, U'Beit Sha'alavim, U'Beit Shemesh, V'Eilon Beit Hanan. So that these are areas that, I mean, we can go into them, but I provide you with a map. I don't know, Rabbanea may have more details on his map. You can look at this map. It has the general areas marked out. Ben Chesed Ba'arubot. And when we talk about the town over here, it means that was the government center, the economic government center, which also included Lo Socho. Additional to that area was the area of Socho and Chol Eretz Hefer. Ben Amidadav, he had Kol Nafat Dor. Nafat Dor includes what today is called Nafat Dor, which is the area around Itlit, but at the time apparently included a lot more of the area of the Chof, so that even what we call today the Carmel and so on, the Chof HaCarmel, was originally called Nafat Dor. Nafat means the overall area, which is today used in modern Hebrew to mean that county, so to speak. So Nafat Dor. Tafat bat Shlomo haitalo la isha. And he was actually related to Shlomo as a son-in-law. Bana ben Achilud, he was in Ta'anach u'Megiddo. And v'chol Beit Shan asher etzel tzartana mitachat l'Yisrael, mi Beit Shan ad avel mecholah ad me'ever l'Yokna'am, in other places known as Yokna'am. So this was that area, which obviously includes some different Shvatim, but we'll go through that. This is B'derech Klal. All of them were Makbil to Shvatim. I'll go over the map with you afterwards. Ben Gever B'Ramot Gilad, he also, although his center of government was Ramot Gilad, he also was in charge of all of Chavot Ya'ir ben Menashe, Asher B'Gilad, and Lo Hevel Argov Asher B'Bashan. Shishim Arim Gedolot, Choma Uvriach Mechoshet. These were large cities with a Choma, and with a sealed gate with Nechoshet. All of that area, which was in Eber HaYarden, was in charge. Ben Gever was in charge. Achinadav Ben Ido, Machanaima, and that Machanaima, that was the area of God, as we saw. So this was generally the area of God. Achimatz, in the general area of Naphtali, and he too was a son-in-law of Shlomo. Gamula Kachet Bosmat Bat Shlomo Leisha. Ba'ana ben Hushai was in Asher, in Alot. Yehoshaphat ben Paruach was in Yisachar. Zevulun is not mentioned, was probably included here in Yisachar. Shimi ben Elah was with Binyamin. These are the only ones that are given mamish kineged the Shevet itself. Gever ben Uri, be'eretz Gilad, including Eretz Sichon melech Amori, va'og melech Abashan, and then there was a netziv echad asher ba'aretz. Now, the Tziv HaChad Asher Ba'aretz is a machloket in the Gemara, whether this was a 13th Netziv who took care of a leap year. Because here it's one person per month, and in order to keep the months of the year, in other words, each one would be in charge of, let's say, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev. Like, what do you do when you have an Adar Sheni? Yeah, it doesn't mean individually supplying, but they're in charge of supplying. That there was a 13th, according to Maman Yomar, who was Asher Ba'aretz for that extra month, according to which we're not told what his chelek was, but it would be about a third the size based on how often he would have to supply the money of the others, which is strange. The other man, Yomer, says Netziv Echad Asher Ba'aretz means there was one person in charge of the whole country, and then that would be a reference back to the same individuals listed earlier. Right, that was we had before the Azariah ben Natan al Nitzavim. Before that would be Azariah ben Natan. However, there is another very serious problem here, and that is that stunningly, nobody's in charge of the area of Yehuda.
There's no
Netziv. So, I mean, what some suggest is the Netziv Achad Asher Ba'aretz, that the word Yehuda of the next pasuk is a reference to this as well. Because we have, remember that there's no chaluk of psukim in the Nach itself, so we also often find that a word goes in two directions. Maybe this is someone else, but then how do we have 12 without Yehuda? That's very strange too. So it's possible. I mean, it's certainly impossible that he let off Yehuda. That's crazy. That's all that he needed. I mean, everything was being done with such care not to cause any kind of divisions that he wouldn't dare have done something like that. So it may well be that it's the opposite. In other words, it could be that the primary support is Yehuda, and it might even be that the 12 different counties in Yehuda that were listed in Yehoshua, the Mechozot, that were all Mechozot of Yehuda, meant that there was a Mechoz of Yehuda that we take for granted that was in charge. So it could be that this is four elements of the house of the Melech, which were international in scope. In other words, they were of national concern. So of national concern, he had the other Shvatim take care of. Yehuda was the one that supported the king Bichlal. It's also a possibility. In other words, we're not even looking at it. There was so much more that Yehuda was giving that it was taken for granted that since this was in the area of Yehuda, Yerushalayim was in the area of Yehuda, and people there were involved in day-to-day life in the Malchut, that there was a heck of a lot more taxes and money and things that were pouring in to the local demands of the Malchut. And the rest of Yisrael was only asked to participate in the national projects, which was Nogeya politics and things like that, but not the personal Tzorchei Habayit. And the personal was part of what Yehuda, that was what Yehuda contributed. He was from Yehuda, so the family was in charge of that. The family gave that, the connection to the family. I don't know. It's just amazing that nobody discusses it. How is it that Yehuda is a
match? We know that because we did this on the map.
Yeah, so if you take a look at the map, it's stunning how the whole area of Yehuda downwards is gone. Nobody's in charge of it. So now if we take a look, basically, one by one, so we saw that... Oh, I'm sorry. Yehuda v'Yisrael rabim kechol asher al hayam larov. And here in his days, we find that the bracha of, as opposed to in the closing of David's days, in which they attempted to count Yisrael, Shlomo, on the contrary, tried to implement the Birkas Avram Avinu, in which Yehuda v'Yisrael would be without count. Kechol asher al hayam larov, ochlim v'shotim v'smechim. This was the only time, really, in Jewish history that we found that there was a brief period in which there was a sense of shlemus, that there were people that felt secure, that were economically secure, that were militarily secure. And this part seems to be a reference to after the building of the Beis HaMikdash, where there was a shlemus of Yisrael for a very brief period, and there was a sense that we had arrived at Menucha. And this is what really Kadosh Baruch Hu had said originally. He is going to be an Ish that will bring Menucha. That was the original, before he was born. That was the Nevi'ut to David, when David wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. The Ish Shalom, that's called Shlomo, Al-Shem, HaMelech Shalom Shalom, which of course is also remiss to Kadosh Baruch Hu, a man who was an Ohev of Hashem, and who wrote the book that describes the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Shir HaShirim, that the Rambam holds up as Kol Shir HaShirim is marshal to this Ava in Hilchas Tshuva. The only person that we find that it said that about. This is the Ehev of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls Avram Avinu Avi, but it doesn't say anywhere Avram Ohev et Hashem. On Shlomo HaMelech, incredibly, he is the Ehev Hashem, V'Hashem Ehevo. So that we have here an expression of what it is for a moment to be a Yisrael and a Matzav of Shir HaShirim, without tainus, without the underlying anger that for so many centuries, until it burst out into the open, was always there, as the Gemara puts it, under the surface. There was always tension, always unhappiness between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yisrael. And here, for this brief period, we live as lovers, ochlim, v'shotim, usmechim, just as all of the relationship is based, really, on achila v'shtiyah. Gachaltem sham, go up to the Beis HaMikdash, eat there. Bring your shlomim, eat there. The simcha of mitzvah, the simcha of being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that simcha was achieved very briefly in the early years of Shlomo's Malchus. Now, if we go over the nitzavim in the map, so as we saw, the last nitziviot, the last four nitziviot, were actually part of the Shvatim. So I mean, we had Naphtali, Asher, Yisachar, which maybe included Zebulun, even though it's not mentioned, and Binyamin. But if we take a look even at the earlier ones, there's mentions of boundaries that seem very, very similar to the Nachalos, right? So as we talk about Har Ephraim, I mean, obviously Har Ephraim is not really, as we saw many times before, it's not really the area of Ephraim alone, but I mean, nonetheless, it's a great deal of Shevet Ephraim is there. Rov of Shevet Ephraim would be included in Har Ephraim, so that certainly makes sense. So if you talk about this Ben Gever, so it may well be that Ben Gever the sixth was Chatzi Shevet Menashe, that's Chavos Yoyer, and so on. And you could say the same thing on Achinadav Ben Idu, because Machanaim, you will recall, that's the beginning, the main city that we have of Nachalat Gad. And that may well be that's God. The main area that it describes there is the area of God, except it doesn't want to call it God because it's mixed with some of the others. The 12th, which is Gever Ben Uri, over there you have essentially Reuven. And most of the description over there is the Reuven that we had before. Ben Dekers, which is the second one, is the early Chelek of Dan, not including the northern part of Dan. But what it describes is basically Nachal Adan. That's the area of the Chof today. And all of the cities that are mentioned here, all cities that were mentioned, Neshvela, they're all mentioned in Dan. What happened to the northern Dan? It seems to be included in the Naphtali area. Right? So even though Dan isn't mentioned and Zebulun isn't mentioned, it may well be that these are included in what we said before. There's also the question of what Baal God means, or Alot, that may well be going up. If you note in the map, it suggested that that area goes all the way up beyond Asher into the Tzidonim, because we're going to see that Shlomo HaMelech had now tribute that was being paid to him from all over. So maybe that the Nitzivut included Jews who had moved up into what's today Lebanon, deep into Lebanon, and were also part of the Nitzivut of the Malchut. So it's a beautiful map, and all that's left as a mystery is what the heck happened.